Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. To join us on the air, just dial toll-free 1-888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. To find out more about the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, just log on to our website at www.equip.org. Now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and I want to begin with a great big thank you to all of those who are joining the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. I was so encouraged before I came into the studio today as I endorsed or personalized a great deal of Bible Answer books, thanking people for their friendship and their faithfulness. Endorsed 12 just before I came into the show, plus some other books. And in writing those endorsements or personalizations in the books, I was thinking about how fortunate we are that there are people that stand with the ministry that stands for truth, no matter what the cost. If you've not yet joined the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, your invitation right now to do so. When you do, I'll send you the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, personalized to a family member, to a friend, or personally to you. Or if you give a one-time gift of $100 or more, I'll personalize a copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. Again, you can check this out in a number of different ways on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Before we go to our callers, I want to mention a letter that I got just the other day that says, "Dear Hank, as a Catholic, I enjoy listening to your broadcast. I was listening tonight when you had a question about purgatory. I'd like to explain this from a Catholic perspective, and yes, there is scriptural evidence for purgatory. Then this Catholic friend goes through and gives me the supposed biblical basis for believing in purgatory. And one of the things I want to point out is that what I have said on air is that the Catholic Encyclopedia itself, the New Catholic Encyclopedia, acknowledges that the doctrine of purgatory is not explicitly stated in the Bible. And that's always been my point. Now, I've also pointed out, as this writer does, that 2 Maccabees 12 does have an account of Judas Maccabees who prayed for the dead. But remember, the dead here are identified as idolaters, and idolatry is not a venial sin, it is a mortal sin, and therefore, it wouldn't be the kind of sin that Catholics believe could be atoned for in purgatory. Also, the writer of this particular letter, Carmen, talks about Revelation 21:27, which says, "Nothing impure will ever enter heaven, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Well, again, this does not make a point about purgatory. It simply means that those who go to heaven go there not because of their own righteousness, but because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Another verse that he gives me is Isaiah 6, "The coal on the lips of Isaiah cleansed and purified him." Of course, this didn't happen in purgatory. There's no evidence whatsoever that this is an account that takes place whereby Isaiah is being purified or cleansed in purgatory. And then there is an appeal for me to consider 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 15. The passage speaks about those who have built their lives on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and then separates those who build their lives based on gold, silver, costly stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. And my point here is not that this has anything to do with purgatory, but this has to do with degrees of reward in heaven. In other words, the foundation is Jesus Christ, but you can build on that foundation, and you can either build using those materials that will last for all eternity or those materials that simply will not last. My objective, Carmen says in writing, is to give you the Catholic understanding of the doctrine of purgatory. In a nutshell, we need to be purified before we see God face to face. Where and how does your faith teach of this purification? A response would be appreciated. Well, again, our faith says we're purified completely by the finished work of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are clothed by His righteousness and can stand before God not in the filthy robes of our own self-righteousness, but rather in the spotless robes of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that is why I oftentimes point out that purgatory, drawn to its logical conclusion, denies the sufficiency of Christ's sacrifice upon the cross. Jesus paid it all, and therefore we are purified 100% by the finished work of Jesus Christ. That takes place the moment we receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. We are purified, we are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ then sanctifies us, so we are then being daily conformed to the image of Christ, which is an ongoing process which will be completed on the day that we die, because then we will be glorified, and we will be not only in position righteous, but we will be practically righteous, because as Carmen correctly points out, nothing impure will ever enter heaven, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to our phone caller. Al is up first. He's listening in New Jersey. Hi, Al. Hello, Al.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Mr. Hank. Long time listen. First time called, and you forgive my English, but it's a kind of difficult. It's not my primary language.
Oh, okay, yes.
Yes, I have a question about, I know what Romans 3 says, we all sin and run short from the glory of God. But how about the infant? I mean, infant, and what up to which age we start to have a conscience to know right and wrong? And how about infant when die?
Well, we're all born and conceived in sin, which is to say that we are born tainted by sin, and therefore everyone from an infant to an old person needs the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Theologians are certainly divided on how that justification takes place with respect to infants. Some say that God looks down the quarter of time and sees what that infant would have done if that infant would have lived, and therefore judges that infant on that basis. Others say that God judges that infant based on His purpose and His predilection before the foundations of the world. And in that system of thought, the idea is simply this, that there are those who are born who are condemned from the womb to certain destruction, and others who are those who are redeemed from the foundations of the earth, and therefore they are justified even before the foundations of the earth. So different systems of theological thought look at the issue of infants from different perspectives, but the one thing we have is the biblical notion that God is always going to be righteous and just, and so we leave the infant ultimately in the hands of an altogether righteous, just, and loving God.
So is there wrong to say, for example, if you lost a child, and then you're going to say, oh, you can say, I hope to God they only have, but if you have an unbelief spouse, for example, my wife, she's a Catholic, and unfortunately, she has her own understand, and I have a 9-year-old daughter, which, thank God, she gets the Bible and try to teach her. But for example, if God forbid something happened, and then I don't want to be a hypocrite to say, oh, she went to heaven, even though I that's my hope, and I hope to God that He will have mercy on her, on Evden Infant, but is that wrong to say she went to heaven, even though I don't know for sure?
No, I don't think it's wrong to say that. Remember, we have some biblical precedent for that. David lost a child, and he mourned the child until the time that the child died, and then he washed his face and he went about his business, and everyone was shocked. But David had an explanation, and he said, even though I can't be with the child now, I'll be with that child in eternity. So I think there's a precedent.
You know, he prophesied that he will be with the child, but he doesn't know. He didn't know for sure.
Well,
she would be the Lord or not.
But that's my answer. My answer is that we can leave a child in the hands of an infinitely just and infinitely merciful God, and know that God will never turn away anyone that wanted a relationship with Him. And so my view is that those who are before the age of accountability would be in that category. Now, again, I'm not shouting that loudly because it's an inference. It's a theological deduction. But I think it is a proper theological deduction based on the justice and the love of God.
Correct, correct. Can I ask just one more question?
Yeah.
When is the age which you start to say, no, now, even though we see the child like the selfless, oh, that's my toy, that's this, When is the bottom line? We draw the line. No, now you know exactly what's right, what's wrong, and now we can preach you the law and the grace.
Yeah, it certainly differs from infant to infant and individual to individual. So there's not a set age of accountability. I have, as you may know, Al, I have 12 children. And having a lot of children, I can tell you from personal experience, some grasp concepts much quicker than others grasp concepts. So some of them grasp the gospel much earlier than others grasp the gospel. But I've always had a certain assurance in my own heart based on the nature, the character of God, that all of my children were safely in His hands at all age. In other words, I never had a fear, I hope you get to be 3 or 4 so you can understand this, because if you don't understand this, you'll be excluded. Because I don't see the Bible as some kind of a magical potion where you have to say the right things at a particular age in order to be saved. The point of hell is for those who do not want a relationship with God. We have to look at it from that perspective. Those who do not want a relationship with God, God will not force Himself on those people in eternity. He doesn't force Himself on them in time, much less does He force Himself on them in eternity. My kids don't fall into that category. They never have, they never will.
Correct, correct. Do you agree with the preaching, law to the proud and grace to the humble?
Well, yeah. I mean, in a sense, I mean, you have to uncloak that a little bit. But here's the point. We humbly recognize that we will never be good enough to be acceptable to God. And that's why we fall on His grace and on His mercy, and we ask Him to give us what we do not have, which is a foreign righteousness, not of our own, that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. So we ask Him for His righteousness humbly. It is as though we're reaching out the hand of a beggar to take the gift of a king.
Amen, amen. Because I see a lot of members, church members, with you see that they do things. They said they receive Christ, but they live like devil in a world, and then. And thank God, the Holy Ghost start to work on me, at least to understand there is no relationship between the light and the darkness. And although we're saved by grace alone, but we see a lot of hypocrisy in the church, and then that's why I'm not afraid, but we try to that's why I'm asking think about the law.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to realize that with birth comes growth. So if you're not growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're not producing fruit, then the question is, have you really been born again, or do you just say you have been born again? Because there's certainly a big difference between a said faith and a real faith, which is to say that someone should see Christ in you. Someone should see that you're growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ as you exercise the very spiritual disciplines that Jesus Christ modeled during his earthly sojourn. I'm going to have to leave it at that, Al. We are coming up to a station break. I've written about this in a book called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. It does teach you how to apply the spiritual discipline so you can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are coming right up to the station break. We'll be right back with your questions on the other side of the break. So please don't touch that dial.
Has the Bible Answer Man broadcast impacted your life? Have you been equipped to defend your faith? If so, consider becoming a Bible Answer Man support team member. In doing so, you'll be making an eternal investment in a ministry that equips believers to discern truth from error and to think Christianly about life's most important questions. As a new member of the Bible Answer Man support team, we will send you a copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, personalized by Hank. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is an indispensable resource that will not only provide answers to your questions, but equip you to answer questions raised by family and friends. To join the Bible Answer Man support team, just go to equip.org/donate. Again, that's equip.org/donate. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Stay tuned. The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment. Alaska. There's no better place on earth where you can experience God's creative power on display. Stretching beyond your imagination, it is a land of staggering natural beauty. Now you can join the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp, and Christian Research Journal Editor-in-Chief Elliot Miller for 7-plus inspiring days as you cruise into the grandeur of Alaska. During our time together, we'll unfold the pages of sacred scripture as we are strengthened in our belief in the divine creator of the universe. All of our sessions with Hank, your meals, accommodations, and 5-star cruise are included in one very low price. To participate in this event, you must register through Sovereign Cruises. Sign up by visiting equip.org or by calling Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101. Just as helmet lights assist miners to see into the depths of the earth to extract precious gold, there are now lights to help you mine the depths of God's Word. Continuing with the highly useful and memorable Hankronym flip chart series, Hank Hanegraaff introduces memorable keys to understanding what God has said. Lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth. A pocket-sized laminated flip chart based on the acronym LIGHTS. God has spoken, and the Lights flip chart will give you the tools to know what God has said. Available from the Christian Research Institute is our way of saying thank you for your generous support. Request your copy today on the web at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The millennial generation seeks to grasp moments of experiential transcendence from the offerings of consumer culture. By following the culture's life script, young adults place themselves at the center of a disenchanted universe, making themselves idols. Get a better understanding of Generation Y in the article titled Looking Under the Surface of the Millennial Generation. Friedrich Nietzsche is the patron saint of postmodernism and may currently be the most influential of the great philosophers. Learn how to respond to Nietzsche's anti-God, anti-truth philosophy in Hendrik van der Breggen's article Awakening from the Nightmare. Other topics include Mormon evangelism, theistic evolution, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
conformed to the culture, or are you an ambassador for Christ? As Christians, we're called to be in the world while refusing to be of it. Dick Staub's book, The Culturally Savvy Christian, skillfully exposes the shallowness of contemporary pop culture and shows how millions of Christians have been led astray. But Staub goes beyond diagnosis to healing prescription, laying out practical guidelines you can use to safely engage our culture every day. As good ambassadors, we must understand the world we live in and transform it just as Christ and his disciples did. In appreciation for your gift this month, we'd like to send you The Culturally Savvy Christian by Dick Staub. Contact us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's the host of The Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to the phone callers. Next up is Johnny listening on XM 170 in Pembroke Pine, Florida. Hi, Johnny.
Yeah, hi, Hank. It's John. I have a question because I heard you talking earlier about purgatory, and I myself am a Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yeah, I hear you.
I don't even go to church really anymore because every time I go to like another church, I always feel like I'm doing something wrong because I'm not going to a Catholic church. And yet almost everything that a Catholic church believes in, I don't believe in because when I read the Bible. And for instance, I know that I'm, saved by the grace of God and Jesus dying on the cross for me, but I almost feel like unless I tell a priest exactly what I've done wrong, almost, just so like it's a chance for me to be personally humiliated and somebody. I was just wondering if you could help me with to help me not believe in confession legitimately, or because I know it's not required, really.
I think what you want to recognize is who you're confessing your sins to. If you look at 1 John. The first chapter, right around the ninth verse, which says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So we want to continue to confess our sins to God. And that is not for salvation, John. It is to continue your relationship. It is very analogous to being married. If you were not to confess a particular sin to your wife, it would not mean that you're not married, but it could be a breach in your relationship. In other words, our sin does not break our union with God, but unconfessed sin can break your communion with God. And that's why we confess our sins, recognizing that he's faithful and just. He will forgive us our sins and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So important, I think, to confess your sins, but recognize that you are a priest yourself. The Bible speaks of the priesthood of all believers. So it's not as though you have to find a priest. You are a priest. You have been made a priest. The same language that was used for the priests in the Old Testament is now used about you. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Now, having said all of that, I don't want this to become a stumbling block for you, because you were not born again as a Lone Ranger believer. You were born into the family of faith. You're born into a community of faith, and you identify visibly and publicly with Christ through baptism, through the taking of the sacraments, and through participation in the family of God as delineated in Romans chapter 12. So, John, the body of Christ needs you, and you need the body of Christ. Don't think that you can go this on your own. You need to be part of a healthy, well-balanced church.
Okay, Hank, I think you speak so wisely, and I appreciate listening to you daily. Can I ask you just one more thing that I think is short?
Yeah, go ahead.
The Roman centurion, when he went to Jesus, and or it might not have been the Roman centurion, but the person who said, you know, I believe you, Jesus, help me with my unbelief.
Yeah.
Is when you're having a battle with faith, does God know you're still believing, even if you feel like you don't know if you're believing?
Yeah, I mean, look, John, your relationship with God is not cemented by your feelings. It's cemented by God's promise. So you can know you have everlasting life. In fact, the same epistle that I pointed to you earlier says that very thing. John is writing so that we can know, not hope or think, but know that we have everlasting life, and that everlasting life, again, is based on the promise of God who can never lie. So the beloved apostle in 1 John 5 says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know you have eternal life. And you know that based on the finished work of Jesus Christ. So if you realize that you're a sinner and you've repented of your sin, which is essentially saying, I want to take a U-turn on the road of life. I want to follow Jesus Christ. Now, by the way, John, you're going to do that imperfectly. You're going to fall, you're going to stumble, but your desire is to follow Jesus Christ. And when you realize you're a sinner, repent of your sin, and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, He'll begin to change you from the inside out. He cleans you up. It's not as though you come to Him as a perfect person. You come to Him just as you are, and He begins to transform you. And that's an ongoing process. And you're going to have slips and stumbles on the way, but He is never going to drop you out of His hand.
And that's what I'm wanting, Hank. And I thank you for your time. And again, I enjoy your show, and I thank you very much, Hank.
Well, if we can be of any other assistance to you, John, appreciate your call so much.
Okay. Have a good day, sir.
Okay. Want to go back to the phone lines now and talk to Crystal. She's listening in Vancouver, British Columbia. Hi, Crystal.
Hi.
Hi.
I've never been on the radio before. It's very exciting.
Well, it's good talking to you.
I have a question for you, though. I was reading a document that is sent by a fellow who updates these, like, end-time prophecies, and he said that more than 7,000 bald eagles had died just a few days ago in Washington State, and that this was a direct, I guess, indication of what he's saying is the judgment falling on America. And, of course, the people that follow him believe that the end times are any moment now, and they're waiting for the rapture. But then on another note, then you've got a guy like Brother Stairs and different people that believe that we're not going through the rapture, that we're going through, I mean, that we're not going to be raptured, but we're going to go through the whole tribulation. And I just wanted to know what your thoughts were on that and where we're at and what kind of, I mean, that's all very confusing.
Okay, well, let me be really blunt about this.
Mm-hmm.
What you're listening to is sheer unadulterated nonsense.
Mm.
First of all, let me say that had you lived in the middle of the 14th century with the Black mm-hmm. Death, the bubonic plague as it was sometimes called, which mm-hmm. wiped out as much as a third of Europe's population, you would have thought, I am living at the time that Jesus Christ is going to return, but you would have been dead wrong. Every generation seems to think that they're the terminal generation. But the reality is we have no way of knowing when Jesus Christ is going to return. The only thing we know with absolute certainty is that He will appear again a second time. And when He does, He will put all things to right, which is to say, when Jesus Christ returns, He made it plain. Do not be amazed. A time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned. So here's what happens. When Jesus Christ comes back, all will be raised. Some will be goats and others will be sheep. And that's metaphorical language that point to those who are followers of Christ and those who are antichrist. So there's only two kinds of people in the world, those who are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb and those who are not. At the coming of Jesus Christ, all will be raised, but they will be separated, sheep from the goat. The sheep will be judged according to rewards in heaven, and the goats according to punishment in hell. So there are biblically degrees of reward in heaven and degrees of punishment in hell. That's why Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me, and I give to everyone according to what he's done." Or, "Do not perish for that, or labor for that which perishes, but labor for that which is eternal." Over and over again, we are told that what we do now counts for all eternity. So what happens when the Lord Jesus Christ returns is there is this separation of sheep and goats, and there is the eternal state. You're either going to live and reign with Jesus Christ throughout all eternity in a glorified body, in a glorified universe, or you're going to be separated from his love and his goodness and his glory and his grace for all eternity because you didn't want to have a relationship with him. God is not forcing himself on people in this time-space continuum, nor will he in the age to come. So you don't know when Jesus Christ is going to come. You only know that he's going to come, and when he comes again, he will put all things to right. So he will permanently deal with the problem of sin and Satan, and you will no longer have a body that's mortal. You'll have an immortal, imperishable, incorruptible body, and the universe that now groans in travail will be liberated from its bondage to decay, so paradise lost will become paradise restored. That's what we look forward to. We don't know when it's going to happen. What we do know is we're called to be faithful and fruitful until he comes again.
Yeah, that's what's, I find that, I guess the reason I wanted to ask you as well is because what I see with a lot of these people that are is that they're just so mesmerized by the fact that, you know, they're just holding on to that fact that it could happen at any time because they don't want to, I guess, they don't want to be caught up in any kind of tribulation or anything that would be a problem, you know? And that almost takes away from your day-to-day life as to how you're supposed to live, how you conduct your life. I mean, because if you're constantly thinking it could happen at any second, I mean, if that was really the case, I mean, we might as well just sit and wait. Why not do that than to actually live our lives according to, you know, and like being about his business? But, do you know, it's like, it's almost like it's, how do you say it? Like, it's very hard to not get preoccupied with that. That's what I find. So I just wanted to get someone's thought on it because, you know, I feel this way. I'm sure there's others that feel the same, that, you know, well, then if that's the case and if it's going to happen today or tomorrow, why not just sit at home and wait, right, instead of getting up and actually doing what we're supposed to be doing, right?
Well, Crystal, I have to say this. You are very articulate for your first time on the air. I'll tell you what, you have said it so eloquently, and you're absolutely right. I mean, that's what Jesus said. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. We will never escape tribulation in this world. You have one problem after the other. It's not getting rid of the problems. It's learning to live through those problems in the peace and love of Jesus Christ and look forward to the time that we'll be reconciled to him forever. Appreciate your call. We are coming to a station break. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your questions answered right here.
Get connected with the Christian Research Institute. Just go to equip.org and click on the Get Connected tab and sign up for our weekly e-newsletter. When you receive our e-newsletter, you'll be informed of special discounts, well-researched articles, videos, featured resources, and everything you need to keep you up to date with all that the Christian Research Institute has to offer. So get connected today. Again, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org and click on the Get Connected tab. The Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff will return in just a moment.
As followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must learn to think Christianly. To do so, we need to steep ourselves in God's Word so that everywhere we look, we discern the lies of our culture against a backdrop of truth. Then we can use what we know to speak to the lost in a language they will understand. The Culturally Savvy Christian by Dick Staub is a book that skillfully exposes the shallowness of contemporary pop culture and shows how millions of Christians have been led astray. But Staub goes beyond diagnosis to healing prescription, laying out practical guidelines you can use to safely engage our culture every day. As good ambassadors, we must understand the world we live in and transform it just as Christ and His disciples did. To order The Culturally Savvy Christian for your gift to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Remain faithful in a world that claims feelings are just as important as facts, if not more so, we have to know the truth about what we believe and why, because truth matters. But simply knowing correct doctrine can still leave you feeling empty or distant from God. Watchman Nee's The Normal Christian Life will give you the insight you need to live a crucified life, dead to yourself and alive in Christ. This inspirational collection of messages will spur you in a desire to grow even closer to God, especially when life becomes difficult. To find out more or to request your copy of The Normal Christian Life, go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or you can call a CRI resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. The millennial generation has been characterized as selfish, sexually permissive, and technologically addicted. Yet a deeper exploration reveals a generation that has been raised and therefore shaped by the baby boomers. But like every generation since the dawn of time, millennials need to know that they are broken and sinful, and that they live in a universe created by a God so loving that He gave His only Son so that we may have life. Learn how you can reach this generation with the truth of the gospel when you subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Simply call 888-7000-274 or log on to equip.org. Well, let's return now to the Bible Answer Man and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's return to our callers. Next up is Bart, listening on KSCV, Springfield, Missouri. Hi, Bart.
Hello, Hank, and it is Bart like the king, but that's okay.
Oh, it's Art.
Yeah, not Bart like the airman.
Okay.
In ministry, where God's placed me, I mean, just within a local body, most of the people that I get to serve are recovering drug and alcohol abusers.
Mm-hmm.
And what's very prominent in the teaching being given to them is this idea that Satan is the legal ruler of this world, and that this process of God regaining control is a matter of slowly doing it. I believe it comes out of both Joyce Myers and before that, out of the ransom theory of atonement.
Yep.
Now, I can deal with it if we get back to the ransom theory, whether it's from It Is Finished or whether it's from the veil being rent as Jesus died. But do you have anything that helps address more quickly, given the attention spans, et cetera, that I'm dealing with, this issue that somehow, oh, we have to be worried about this Satan who has legal authority over you unless X, Y, and Z are being met right now in your life.
Yeah, I think, Art, what's important to recognize for the people that you're talking to is that Satan is not the god of this world in the sense that he has legal rights to this world. He is the god of this world in a much different sense. He's the god of this age in that he is the one who represents evil. The reality, however, is that no ransom has to be paid by God to Satan. Rather, we are ransomed from our sin by the finished work of Jesus Christ. The idea at the embryonic stages of this theology is that when God created Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve sinned, God lost the universe to Satan. So God was on the outside looking in. And he had to find
that God had given it to Adam and Eve to be, if you will, God in his place to begin with.
Yeah, exactly.
It gets scary.
And what you have in the scripture is over and over again the affirmation that this is my Father's world, that Jesus Christ has complete control over this universe, which we see in Colossians chapter 1, but we see it throughout scripture, even in the narrative passages where we see Nebuchadnezzar, who thinks that he is the God who did all these things and created all these things by his hand, and after a few years of hanging out with the heifers, he quickly realized that he wasn't the creator at all. He was a mere creation, and God was sovereign over the affairs of humankind.
Yeah, what I focus on with these friends, I mean, let's call them first friends. You know, they're not projects. You know, let's understand, is the understanding that what we live in, this mess that we live in, more than anything, is the result of the sinful nature of 6 billion human beings collectively being manifest in the way we relate to one another, do business, and everything else, far less than it is Satan pulling strings and deciding how the world's going to run.
Yeah, and he neither pulls strings in that sense. I mean, the devil is still God's devil. He is a lion on a leash, the length of which is determined by our Lord. So he can do only what God permits him to do. And certainly the devil, the world, the flesh are used as temptations, but it's not even our prerogative to try to figure out where the temptation emanates from. What we need to do in contrast to that is put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand against the wiles of the evil one.
Right. And as James says, each of us is tempted when we are taken away or indulge the lusts of our own sinful nature.
Yeah, that's exactly right, yes.
Then I will keep reinforcing this, and hopefully we'll be able to get to the root of it at some point. But since I'm not the leader in this group, that's kind of difficult.
Well, bless you for your work, though, Art.
It's a good field.
I appreciate your call as well. I want to go back to the phone lines now, and we'll talk next to Dan. He's a Canadian listener, listening on CHRB in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Hank. I have a question.
Yeah.
I've been to several churches in my area, and I've read some knowledgeable books, but I'm just thinking and wondering the fact that Satan and his horde of angels, demonic angels, they're not... they're not talked about or preached about. And along those lines, I'd just like to say that I think he has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. So I think it would be almost appropriate if they were to address that.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I think the real problem is that Western evangelicals live in a post-Christian, human-centered, self-absorbed, feel-good, secular culture, which, as J.I. Packer once said, reduces all religion to a private hobby. There's a modern passion to find dignity and worth in all religions, and it presses upon us, it presses upon our imaginations, and therefore we have been contaminated with the world's disgust for an attempt to make vivid the thought that without Jesus Christ, we are sinners in the hands of an angry God. Preachers today want to dwell on more uplifting themes. They want people to feel good about themselves. But the reality is, we abdicate our responsibility unless we give the graphic reality that Jesus Christ gave during his earthly sojourn, which is that if we end in hell, we end up in torment forever and ever and ever, never ending. And that is why we can say with certainty that Jesus Christ spent a whole lot more time warning people about condemnation in hell than he even talked about the wonders of heaven. And you see the same thing with his followers. I mean, Paul said the wicked will be punished with everlasting destruction, shut out from the presence of the Lord, from the majesty of his power. He is warning people, please turn from the wrath that is to come. Life is but a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow. And that so easily falls from our lips. But even as I'm talking to you right now, I am a breath away from eternity. And that breath is in the hand of God, and eternity is never ending. And that's why I strive to do what I do, not for popularity or prosperity or a bigger platform, but because truth matters. And I can tell you something. I can make my platform as big as I want to make my platform through human effort. And the reason that is true is because I know just how to do it. But that is capitulating to what people want. And I am much more concerned with what God wants than what people want. I am much more concerned about standing before him than I am having a big crowd following me here. And so I'm not going to do what I do because it's popular. I'm going to do what I do because truth matters. And that's the salient difference between living with eternity in mind or living with mean earthly vanities in the fore.
Well, that was very nice. Yeah, that was some wisdom, Hank. I read and I try to, maybe I'm not as well-read as some, but I just have that difficult time with the reading scriptures that are condemning and dark. And then I don't understand some of the troubles in life as much.
Well, I'll tell you what, when you go through the cauldron of adversity, you're broken, but in that breaking, you're poured out into new and better fashion. God uses broken people. So often I have said in my own brokenness, God, why do I have to go through this? Why do I have to face that kind of persecution or this kind of slander? Why? But in the end, I recognize the still small voice of the Master that lets me know that none of the breaking is without purpose. He has a purpose in everything, and ultimately, when you are broken, you become a much more usable vessel in the hands of the Master. And that's what we want to be.
Well, thank you, Hank.
You got it, Dan. Appreciate your call.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Want to go back to the phone lines now? We'll talk to Jim. He's listening in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, another Canadian listener. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I guess I'll start out by saying I really enjoy, I listen to your show pretty regularly, and I really enjoy when you take on the pastors who are, or I guess they're, I don't know if they're pastors or not, but they're like all for the personal gain, and they're they're really, a lot of them are blaspheming and stuff, so I love listening to that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also a lover of the truth, and the one thing you mentioned, I think it was, if I remember correctly, the other day, you used this verse, and you're talking to somebody about the dietary laws.
Yeah.
And it's the verse, Mark 7, verse 19, and it says, it's not what goes into his heart. It says, I guess in verse 19, at the end of it, it says, thus he declared all foods clean.
Yeah.
And from my remembrance, I think I looked that up in the Strong's one time, and I think that thus he declared all foods clean is not actually in the scripture or in the Greek.
Well, actually, that's not true. The best Greek manuscripts actually would give you that kind of a rendering, something to that effect. I mean, there's always a difference when you go from a language to a receptor language, but I think that you can safely say that what the NIV has in its particular version, going from one language to a receptor language using a thought-for-thought translation, is correctly rendered, Jesus declared all foods clean.
Right.
But the argument actually turns on an equivocation in the English of the KJV's word purging, because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all foods. In other words, as though the phrase purging all foods means, in this context, the body eliminates or gets rid of the food. And the point of Christ's argument is simply this. It is not what goes into a man's mouth and then out through his body that defiles him. Ultimately, it is that which proceeds from the heart. And so everything else is a type and a shadow, ultimately pointing to Jesus Christ, who fulfills all the civil and ceremonial aspects of the law. Out of time, out of here. We'll see you right back here next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
On today's show, we've mentioned several resources that would be a great help to you or someone you know. So contact the Christian Research Institute and let us help equip you with just the right resource so you can defend the faith. Either call us at 888-7000-CRI, again, that's 888-7000-CRI, or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. You're also welcome to visit our website at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is furnished by the Christian Research Institute. As followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must learn to think Christianly. To do so, we need to steep ourselves in God's Word so that everywhere we look, we discern the lies of our culture against a backdrop of truth. Then we can use what we know to speak to the lost in a language they will understand. The Culturally Savvy Christian by Dick Staub is a book that skillfully exposes the shallowness of contemporary pop culture and shows how millions of Christians have been led astray. But Staub goes beyond diagnosis to healing prescription, laying out practical guidelines you can use to safely engage our culture every day. As good ambassadors, we must understand the world we live in and transform it just as Christ and his disciples did. To order The Culturally Savvy Christian for your gift to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. When Charles Darwin was writing his famed The Origin of Species, it was well known at the time that the first fossils of animals appeared suddenly and without predecessors. So there was a deep dilemma about what his theory told him to expect to find and the facts. Darwin's Dilemma on DVD explores the mystery of the Cambrian explosion and the scientific controversy that still surrounds it. Where are the missing transitional forms that Darwin's theory requires? Can any undirected evolutionary process explain the origin of animals? Filmed on four continents, this fascinating documentary examines some of the most important fossil discoveries ever made. The Cambrian explosion was actually an explosion of biological information, information that points unmistakably to foresight, purpose, and intelligent design. Order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record from
from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.